me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Skid Row.
I think I just fucked up. Hold on a second. We're going to start that shit right now. Hold on a second. I fucked that up. It's all good.
What did you say, nigga?
So you can just suck my cock.
Yeah, man. Sorry about that. You know, had a little delay there. I forgot to plug in the audio jack into the side of the computer. So, but yo, it's all good. What's popping? It's Thursday night. You know, you who the fuck are you gonna judge? You haven't paid your electric bill. You got fucking expired rice milk in your fridge. You got cobwebs in your cupboards. Your fucking girlfriend's panties are thrown all over the place. You haven't cleaned the fucking kitty litter box in about a month. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? You're chilling out here with Uncle Ness. You know what I'm saying?
How do you know my life?
Yo.
How do you know my life is like that? Is this mic on?
It's on. It should be on.
Yeah, I'm not hearing
it. Is
myself.
It on? Is it on?
I'm not hearing it.
Oh,
I'm not hearing it.
It's not plugged in?
I'm not hearing it. Am I on?
How am I on?
Is it plugged in?
Isn't the mic plugged? Okay, there
now
we go.
It is.
There
now
we
it is.
There we
Listen,
go.
We're having technical difficulty. Yes. Do you want me to start the whole thing over?
Okay,
with,
start
with
the whole thing
milk?
Over. I like that. Was that Tonight Show music
Hold
that
on.
You have?
Us? Hold on.
Peace, this is Common, and right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
Yeah!
Okay, welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio Show.
I'm curious of how much, what's the percentage of our listeners that actually drink rice milk?
I'm not sure because I have a big demographic of listeners outside of the United States. So I would probably say like 50%. I mean, excuse me. I would say maybe 50% are from the United States. And of those 50%, maybe 30 to, maybe of that 50%, maybe 30 to 35%. Because we have a lot of Californiaites. You know, we have a lot of granola, Birkenstock wearing, you know, grass munching, you know, motherfuckers.
I wonder what global rice milk sales are like.
I don't think anybody else drinks rice milk other than us in America.
You really? Think, it's an American thing, you think?
I don't know. We'd have to Google it up. Let me see. Rice milk consumption.
I mean, 'cause, you know, you got all the different milks. You got the regular milk, the cow milk, but then...
You sound like a Mexican when you say... We got all the regular milks. We got the
milk. Hey, don't be fucking with me, Holmes.
We got the rice milk. You know, we got the English muffins.
Don't be getting crazy, fool. Don't be getting crazy, dog.
I
can't even sound like a cholo, even when I try.
I'm going to try rice milk consumption.
Hey, well, you got your almond milk. You got your rice milk. You got your soy milk. You got your...
soy milk is in rice
milk. Cashew juice.
Yeah.
You got your coconut milk.
All right, here we go. Rice milk consumption worldwide. Okay, here we go. I gotta fucking...
In case you've ever wondered...
Okay.
What's rice milk like... Globe.
So in it goes from Bangladesh to Vietnam to Egypt to South Africa. Taiwan seems to have the highest consumption of rice milk. Below that is Korea. Below that is Mexico, then Russia, then Korea, then South Africa. In terms of per capita consumptions per year. Let me see.
Now, wouldn't horchata from Mexico officially be rice milk? But there's actual cow's milk, I think, to make horchata. In Puerto Rico, is there something similar to horchata in Puerto Rico?
I think it's pussy juice. That's
oh
what we I think that's what we use, expired pussy juice. That's our horchata. No, there's no such thing as that. You Mexican dudes, you come up with this crazy shit.
What do you mean?
There's none
you
of that
Mexican,
stuff in Puerto Rico, man.
You Mexican dudes?
Yeah,
you Mexican dudes?
Okay, so
y'all Mexican motherfuckers.
All right, in million tons Less than 7% of world rice production is traded in the global market. You know what? We're going to move on from the rice milk thing.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, how was it being a Latino this week, this past week? Like, like your Latino-ness, how was it?
You know what? There'll be a few weeks or days where I don't think about my Latino-ness.
Really?
Yeah, somehow.
Weeks or days? That's a long, that's
okay,
a big spread.
Okay, there may be up to a week where my Latino-ness will not cross my mind.
I'm not talking about if it crosses your mind, if it crosses other people's minds. And what's your experience?
Let me tell you something. Whenever I drive, okay, I drive kind of slow. Okay, all right.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll be driving slow and people will go around me and I see, you know how you look at the people?
Okay.
So you go and you look.
I don't.
And I know that they're looking, they're like, Mexican, I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they're thinking.
So you
that.
Feel that?
I feel, oh, yeah.
So
their brain is saying
so
Mexican.
So you know what I do? When I'm at a light and there's like, you know, I'm turning left. And there's somebody in front of me and he's turning left. You know these new xenon lights, they fucking blind you. Or sometimes, you know, the guy in front of you has one headlight off, so they use the high beams to overcompensate. When I get to this shit, I get to the light, I fucking blast my high beams. So the other night I did that, and of course the guy starts flashing me his high beams to let me know that I had my high beams on him.
Sure.
I just made believe, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I wasn't even looking at him. I'm like, fwa, pake mame. You know what I'm saying? You want to blind me with your fucking xenon lights and you have no concept, no conception of the energy that you're fucking blasting into somebody's eyes while you're parking, that you're going to get the wrath of my high beams. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Yes.
They're going to see you and they're going to think, fucking Mexicans.
Yeah.
They're not going to know you're Puerto Rican. If you do anything on the road, Mexicans will get blamed.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do I look Puerto Rican to you?
Do somebody you look Puerto Rican to me?
Okay.
Sure. I mean, when I find out you're Puerto Rican, I'm not surprised. Like, oh, you don't look Puerto Rican.
Well,
sure.
Here's my Latino-ness just today, right? This dude, white kid, says to me, I'd love to see some pictures of you in the 80s. You know, because I'm talking to him about how we used to say things like fresh, deaf, that shit is dope, you know. But really, fresh, deaf, yo, what up, B? You know, old hip-hop terms.
Even word.
Word. So he says to me, I'd like to see some pictures of you in the 80s. So, of course, I always have them in my phone.
You walk around with pictures from
people
the 80s?
People ask me that shit. They always ask me, you know, especially if I see some punk-looking kids that look hip, and I'm like, yo, let me tell you the evolution of that look.
Yo, check out these pictures of me from 1980, motherfucker.
85. And I show
it to
them.
Look at these feelers. Look at these feelers on my
feet. And I show it to them. So the guy says to me, he says, You look more Puerto Rican back then than you do now. That's what he says to me.
Well, you've been gentrified.
I've been homogenized.
You've been gentrified, homogenized. You've been you look less Puerto Rican today and more like a member of the what do you call it, the neighborhood council or
I do.
What do you call it when you rent a condo? The Homeowners Association, yeah. You look more like you would be involved in the Homeowners Association today than being a funky fresh.
Well, yeah. I'm a homeowner, and I come out of my underwear sometimes in
there
the front lawn because you know what? I don't give a fuck. That's my house, and if you don't like it, close your blinds.
Wait, you come out in your underwear?
Sometimes.
To get the newspaper?
Not the newspaper. I don't read. I'm talking about like to get the bins in, the garbage bins and shit like that. You know, when I say my underwear, like boxer shorts, but they're kind of tight. They come up a little bit, and sometimes I don't have a shirt on. Sometimes I do. My wife goes crazy.
When you go outside in your underwear to grab your garbage cans, Mexicans get blamed.
That's fine.
You don't even care.
No, that's fine. That's on you, man. if you take your garbage in and out in your underwear, then you should be proud of it. Anyway, listen, man, let's move on. That was our little segment of how it is to be a Latino this past week. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, we have to integrate a little bit of our, you know, Latino connection.
No, see, that's where we diverge, because actually you want to integrate. I want to have less. We got two Latinos hosting a show. We blew out all of our white audience. As soon as I came on the show and Rich was gone, our white American audience gone.
Dude, do you know the show Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
Do you know why it has such a big following?
Why?
Because white people love to see what spicks and niggers are doing. they love to see that. They love to see.
They're like a fly on a wall.
Right. They love to see, especially at our worst. So, you know, it's do not ever shy away from what
I'm
you
listening.
Are, what you're doing.
So the more I degrade myself, the more entertaining it is.
No. I'm not saying degrade yourself. I'm saying be who you are, whatever it is that you are. You know,
I would like to degrade myself.
I'm saying,
to some degree, just a small degree.
I asked you, how was it to be Latino this week? So.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a big umbrella.
Okay, so to sum it up, to be Latino this week,
yeah,
didn't think about it much.
Good. All right, so you weren't affected by it.
No.
So
no.
You didn't drive slow and people didn't stare at you.
You know why? Because aside from what Donald Trump recently said about Mexicans, aside from that, mm-hmm. it's America's mainly been a black-white thing. Mm-hmm. It's mainly been blacks versus whites. Confederate Donald flag, Trump. All that shit. Yeah, Donald Trump is the one that brought Mexicans back in the news. Nobody was giving a shit about Mexicans until Donald Trump started talking again.
Okay, I'm glad.
Before that, it was about blacks and whites.
Okay,
and
so I'm forth. Glad you brought up Donald Trump. I just want to say this one thing. So, America Ferrara the other day, she sent a... there was a little thing on Yahoo that she's actually glad and she's happy for that Donald Trump said what he said about Mexicans and the wall and that other stuff, because that only makes Mexicans and the Latino market in America like know, you know, where
the Latino market, which market, Vallarta or Superior?
Ralph's, the Latino market. No, but I'm saying it's like
wait, is she trying to imply that Donald Trump's words made Latinos mobilize or something?
No, I mean, he's losing the Latino market. He lost it.
So, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Except for maybe some of the minority, this is a double one, a minority Republican minority, if that makes sense.
Whoa, slow down, man. Who's the high one here?
The minorities that are Republican, yes. The minority of them.
Yes. A minority of a minority.
Correct.
Wow, that's correct. Deep, man.
Unless, you know, the Ted Cruz and those type of dudes, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, Donald Trump.
But Ted Cruz makes me feel mucho Latino.
Ted Cruz is sleazy. That dude's sleazy. I give that dude about 5 years, and then it'll come out that he's been molesting chickens or something.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He's despicable.
That's the guy born in Canada, right? That's or am I thinking of Mark Rubio?
No.
I confuse Cruz and Rubio.
No. Ted Cruz, Cuban American, okay. Born in Canada. His father's born in Cuba, and the motherfucker's running for a president. Oh. And hates, you know, Spics and hates Mexicans and
does
you know,
he?
Oh yeah. Oh, he's horrible. The guy's horrible. Anyway, listen. So the thing about Ted Donald Trump, and we move on, is that. Two things. So NBC Universal canceled the Miss Universe pageant because that's he's invested in that.
I'm pissed. And, to me, that's more important than the Olympics.
And Macy's, NBC Universal canceled it. Somebody else is going to take care of it.
Yes.
Somebody else will air it, and sure. It doesn't matter. The point of this is that I think that some people, you know, it's important to stand by what you believe in, whatever that is. Right?
And so, unless it's something I don't believe in, then fuck you.
Well, you're not standing by it, but, you know, Macy's took, he has a, could you imagine this? He has a line of ties and shirts that he sells in Macy's, as if this pig, this disgusting toupee flapping, like horrific looking pig of a human being needs to make ties. Leave that shit to Puff Daddy, dude. You know what I'm saying? He's selling ties in Macy's, and Macy's basically said, fuck you, we're not selling your ties. So I just want to give a big up to NBC. I meant to do this last week, you know.
That's it.
You're big up NBC Universal, man. Big up Macy's. I love Macy's. I happen to love Macy's. Anyway, let's move on. Let's introduce our guests.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
We just been rambling on and on and on, and my guest has been patient. Our guest tonight is my boy Lou Pizarro from Operacion Repo, Operation Repo, and he's got a new Repo Man comic. Yeah.
Oh, this looks so check awesome.
Out. This is pretty dope.
It looks awesome.
Lou Pizarro.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you woo! Doing? Skid Row Studios, baby.
And I want to introduce my man,
Giacomo
Mirarchi, right?
Mirarchi.
This motherfucker's from Sweden, and and he's in the Italian part of Sweden.
Oh,
and there's nothing Italian about this fuck. He doesn't like coffee. He doesn't like cheese on the pizza. His last name is spelled like it would be Mirarchi, right? That's Mirarchi. That's not even an Italian name. But Giacomo is the only thing. Giacomo Mirarchi. That's my man right there.
There's two things that he needs to like, and they'll tell me if he's Italian. Number one, women.
Yeah, of course he likes women.
Ferraris.
Yeah.
You caught him. You caught him.
You caught him. You got to understand, you're in Los Angeles, and people will shoot you for that delayed response.
He's a unique. I got to tell you something. Uh-huh. He's a very unique Italian,
uh-huh.
Very unique. I never even knew that there was a part of Switzerland that's Italian. A very smart guy. Work ethic on the money. He's our intern. My man's like on the money.
All right.
I wish this guy would stay here in L.A. He's going to be going back in September 29th. September
19th.
Are you being deported or you're going?
No, he's got a short term. He's got a short term student visa.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to introduce him right off the top because we always wind up talking and then he's sitting there and I never say anything to him. So if you feel like saying anything or anything is interesting, you want to ask Lou something. I think I showed you Lou's video last week at Jeremy's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I showed him the video of you with your truck cock blocking that kid who carjacked the Mercedes-Benz and the skateboarder.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. I haven't seen you in forever. And then that's the first thing I see on Yahoo News.
Yeah, that's
and I was like, oh shit, that's my man Lou.
I was just glad that dude wasn't related to me, man.
Dude, are you crazy?
Yeah, can you imagine? It was like a cousin or something.
Dude, while I was watching that, all I kept thinking was, how about if this guy whips out a gun or something? Yeah. I'm like, Lou's crazy.
Yeah, well, you know
what? You're not thinking about that.
No, I wasn't thinking. You know, I was in the line of fire, the cops, you know, some of them had their guns drawn.
Yeah,
And I'm thinking, all right, man, I got my stuff. I'll take care of myself,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
you got the Yale? You got the money?
Wait a second. Are you saying that you walk around strapped?
I am not saying that, but what I am saying
is licensed.
That I take care of myself, man. You know,
he's licensed. Lou's licensed.
Oh, yeah. So here's the situation.
We interviewed Lou. Lou is a legitimate repossession man.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got into this.
It's not just a character you play.
No. He's straight up.
Wow, okay.
Plus a Marine.
17
and plus,
years.
You know,
hurrah. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
He's the real deal.
Yeah. So, we're going to have to take Giacomo on a repo ride one of these days, man.
You need to take him because...
You can do that?
You need to take him.
Yeah, wow. Take him.
You should take him.
Hey, the last ride along, I took this guy. We went out.
You still do that? No.
No, but we went... The last ride along, we went out there to the Jefferson and Martin Luther King projects.
Oh, yeah.
And we got shot at, man, like 20 times.
Really?
It just banged. It blasted my truck. I hooked up a Suburban. It got all shot up. And the cops heard it. They were at 7-Eleven, so the cops are coming this way. And I'm looking for my guy that I was taking on the ride-along. His name was Ray. And I'm looking for him, like, where did he go? I couldn't see him. I was scared for him, right? And he was hiding underneath the dash, bro. Don't ask me how this Mexican squeezed. Well, I know how he squeezed in there.
There you go. Going back to being a Mexican, Sal.
Don't be pointing at me, motherfucker.
Well, that's your department, dude.
So he squeezed underneath the dash, and it was night. And I was scared because I didn't see him. I thought he got shot. He jumped out, and he was hiding there, man. And the reason why, he's like, weren't you scared? I said, man, how am I going to be scared if one time I was the one doing the shoot, man? So I see this guy, he was an African-American, just to be politically correct.
Yes.
Wait, are you sure he was American?
Yeah.
You think okay.
Yeah,
he could have been Nigerian.
He could have just been African.
He was African-American.
Yeah.
So he's running down the steps, and it was raining. And he's running down the steps, and I see him, and he's just shooting at me. And I didn't want to take my eyes off him, you know, so he's shooting, bam, 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 and he's hitting the truck, hitting the Suburban. He was shooting all over the place. And as soon as he hit the grass, he slipped on his ass.
Now so you were waiting for that moment.
So he was on.
That
I was
grass
pulling away.
Ass slip.
Yeah, he was on the floor shooting sideways, man. Like just you know, upside down. Bam, bam, bam.
And like what's his name in the new James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. Yeah. Daniel Craig be like sliding on like hallway shiny glass, slipping like hotel floors. And as he's sliding on the side, he's popping you.
Come on.
That's one of the sexiest fucking.
Well, this guy was no Daniel Craig.
No.
Let me tell you, man.
Well, first of all, a lot of you guys don't know, Lou Pizarro is Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah.
He was born in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
He moved out here to California when you were in third grade or something like that?
Yeah,
third grade. So you know, great guy. This dude is like aces. And I'm not saying that because you're here, kiss your ass. Anybody,
I appreciate it, brother.
Anybody ask me anything about you. I got mad love for you. I always say this. Well,
damn,
we
you
met.
Never said that shit to me, motherfucker.
Well, you're my boy, but I mean, I'm talking about
damn.
Lou. If you walk around the street with Lou, you'll see, bro. Lou's the type. Let me just say this. All right, back up. I met Lou doing his original Operacion Repo show when it was in Univision.
Yeah, Telemundo.
Telemundo.
Telemundo. Yeah.
Telemundo. So I auditioned. It was backstage, and you know, I just did whatever the hell I wanted to do. You know, in L.A., they would put you in front of the camera when you first come out.
Oh, yeah.
And so Lou comes out and he's telling me the whole thing. And he's telling me, you know, so this is what's going to happen. You know, we're going to repossess your car. And then, you know, you got to like get crazy. And then you got to fight. And it didn't turn out to be like that. It was just one of those things that like, it was actually a flaccid episode. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't exciting. Like nobody got, it wasn't crazy. Basically.
Wait, did you try to shoot him or not?
No. It just came out that, like, I was Puerto Rican, he was Puerto Rican, and he was like, you know what, man? Let's just do this, man. You know, we go repossess your car, and, you know, you find out that I'm Puerto Rican, you're Puerto Rican, and we just, like, you know, I forgot if you just let me go, or you were like, or you held the car, and I said, all right, bro, I'll come.
What happened was is that it ended up being more like we were family, like we found a lost brother from the East Coast. And that's what happened. It was like, so it was a unique episode. We did 550 episodes in Spanish.
Wow.
And this one was so unique because the rest of them were all like the same. It was a fight, somebody getting shot, something
interesting.
Like that. But this was a unique episode.
Interesting.
On a very special episode.
Interesting. I would have never thought that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So I was thinking about this today. So we were looking for a location because this is ghetto, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking for the location, and we park in front of this, like, you know, two-tier apartment building, and this white lady, middle-aged lady comes, get the fuck out of here! You guys can't shoot here! Eric, move your car, or I'm going to call the police! And I'm thinking, you fucking wrinkly-ass white bitch, get the fuck back in your house and mind your business.
Oh, yeah. She's probably dead by now, but isn't that something?
You remember that?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you have a permit? I'm calling the cops.
I'm like, mind your business.
Did you really call her out and mention white? Did you say white?
Yeah, man. I'm like, mind your fucking business.
That's it. We lost the rest of
our
white.
You fucking crack a fucking double elastic plastic bitch.
That's it. I hope that there are enough Latinos
in the U.S.
to support the show.
She could have been from New Zealand. Who knows?
No, she was.
Was she Caucasian American? Are you certain?
Caucasian American. She was just like one of these nosy body fucking L.A. bitches. They got nothing better to do with their life. Some people in L.A., in New York, if that was to happen, no one was going to say nothing to you.
Yep.
People mind their business, right?
Because she was miserable. You could tell she was a miserable woman.
You know, in New York, no one's going to go, yo, you got a permit to shoot in front of the building here?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. No one's ever going to say that to you.
No, hey, can I be in it? Hey, you need some help?
Maybe.
Let me hold the camera.
Right, maybe. But they're not going to say anything like that. It's not going to happen.
Wait, look, go back to the shooting. So your job has a serious element of danger.
Oh, yeah.
Where people will try to kill you.
Oh, man, you have no idea. I've been shot. I've been, you know, 2x4 fights, knife fights, stabbed. I got a scar right here from buckshot. But one of the crazy things, man, that people don't realize is that we deal with all walks of life, Giacomo. Everybody. Yeah, we're talking
from the intern
to the attorney to the high-paid doctor to the politician.
Let me tell you something, okay? You're going to start out today as a PA, okay? But in about 5 years, you're going to be owning your own office, okay? And once you get your own office, I'm going to expect you to get your own secretary, your own filing system, your own cocaine elaboration, okay?
You know, so... That being said,
cocaine imitation, dude. That sounds like you were sleeping.
No, I've done some cocaine.
Like that?
I've done some cocaine.
Hold on, like that?
No. Here, once you get it in your nose, you'll spend like the next 5 minutes. You know,
you spend the next 5 minutes doing.
Oh,
that
you're
shit.
Gonna tell me how to do some
dude,
cocaine?
Dude,
I've never tried it, man. Giacomo, you tried it?
Nope, never.
Okay, they don't have it over there,
Lou.
So I forgot what the hell I was saying. So no, here we go. So
you were saying you deal with everybody from interns to the lawyers to everything.
So
when you say that, you mean as a repo man?
Yeah, as a repo man. So you deal, I mean, with strippers. You know, just
you repossess everybody's car.
Yeah. So the point is here is I've been indirectly involved in 3 different murders. Because of the cars getting repossessed. So I can't go into details, man. But
yeah, you can.
So this is
no,
one.
No, you can.
I'm going to tell you. So there's this one guy.
You can go into details.
It's not terrestrial radio. If it were, you couldn't. But online, you can.
No. You can do whatever you want.
Look, that's right. I'm going to do whatever I want,
if you have a problem
man.
With anything that is said here today, I will guarantee you I will cut it out.
And by the way, make sure that platanito clown-looking chick that I left earlier that says she slapped me and she calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she's
was that her pimp in the elevator?
No. No, he's
a comedian.
He was a comedian.
I figured because
we were all on the show. He's a sweet guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just figuring, you know, white lady with the...
No, she's clown. Ella's Latina.
Oh, she was?
Oh, yeah. She's Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was
all right.
A
Mexican woman with
That's her getup. Clownolyn Monroe. And she's a clown, but she dresses up as a Marilyn Monroe clown.
That's a stretch.
Well, you know, I have to be politically correct. So I'm trying to get you to say who the guy was that was with her.
His name was Ian. I forgot his last name.
Yeah, but what's his race?
He's Jamaican.
And he was what?
He was sticking his sausage up. He's trying to get me to do the dirty talk.
So anyways.
You got me, Lou.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man.
All right, get into details about this. What you were involved in indirectly.
I repossessed, I had one of my independent contractors repossess a New Yorker.
Okay.
You know those cars, yes. By a New Yorker? Mm-hmm. And so the finance company says, hey, I need you to deliver it to the auction. So I call up my repossessor, says, look, bring it here. I need to take it, you know, to the auction on a flatbed. Okay, it'll be there this weekend. It never showed up. 2 weeks later, it doesn't show up. Now I can't get a hold of them. What's going on? Phone rings. I get a call from a detective. He says, hey, is this your account? Is this the car you're responsible? I go, yeah, this person repossessed it. Well, it was involved in a murder. I'm like, what? So her nephew, because it was a husband and wife team, damn, I'm already giving away information. Anyways, this guy went around with the car, with the repo, and was robbing everybody and ended up getting in a shootout and murdered a manager. Yeah, just like that. So it was crazy, man. And
it was a geostorm.
No, man, it was a New Yorker. So this guy for a whole year was out on the run. There was two of them. One got busted. He was in jail.
2 years?
For 1 year. Oh. At the end of the year, I get a call. And the guy says, hey, man, you can come get your car now, this and that. We closed the case. I go, what happened? He says, you didn't hear the news last night? I'm like, no. And he goes, they shot and killed the guy.
Oh, wow.
So snipers took him out, man. He had an AK-47. Mm-hmm. He was at his grandma's house. He's like, they're not taking me alive. And you know what I'm talking about, Jack Moore, right?
AK-47.
Yeah, so guy got killed, man.
That
was actually number two. The first one was this guy that told the finance company where the car was at. They paid him $1,500. They told me I went and picked up the car. He found out that the guy snitched on him. He had him taken out, and you know, they're calling me. And
this didn't happen last week.
This happened a while ago. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy.
So walk me through the process, because I didn't ask you this the last time. Yeah. So I default on my car payment.
Yep.
Right. And so the bank calls you.
Yeah. The bank will call you. Some banks do, some don't. Like Ford Motor Credit, man, those guys will call you and they'll send you a letter saying, look, we're going to repossess your car in 16 days. Don't ask me why they say 16 days.
Who calls you, the repo man?
Oh, the finance companies, the banks.
Okay, so the bank or whoever it is. And you're saying some of them will give me the lessee or the owner of the car warning. Some of them don't.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically... Ford Financial calls you, your company, and you say, okay, give me the license plate, or whatever. So you become like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
That's
for
cars. That's exactly right.
So then you look for the how do you go about this?
Well, when you do an application, you put the addresses, you put your mom's address, your references, your work. You know.
So in other words, don't do that.
Yeah.
So
make up phone numbers.
So basically, it's like.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. So basically he goes.
Yeah.
Mira, ¿a dónde está tu hijo? Tu hijo vive aquí. Where does your son live? Is your son still here? Does he live with his uncle? Give me his address. And then you go from door to door until you find.
Why did he turn his last trick?
Yeah. So then eventually you follow leads.
Yeah.
Okay, so about how long does it take for you to find the said unpaid car?
People hide their cars, right? Yeah. They hide them.
I would say when we get a repossession order, we'll get the car within 2 days.
Really?
And if we don't, then it takes us 2 to 3 weeks to, you know, skip tracing, investigating. If we don't get it after, you know, 45 days... Then they'll send it to a professional skip tracer and stuff. But, dude, we'll get your car, bro.
Do you get paid while you're searching for the car? Or you only get paid?
It's a flat rate.
So you don't get paid until the car. Once you repossess the car.
Exactly.
So after 2 days, you may decide, I don't want to deal with this shit. I'm moving on.
Yeah, we'll just give it to one of the girls in the office, and they'll start making calls and doing our own investigative work. Yeah. But we'll get them, man. You might give it to your cousin
If I was getting my car repossessed, you'd get it in an hour because it's right in front of the house.
Exactly.
Or at work, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get your schedule, man. And then if you're driving, some people trade cars. You might trade with him.
Really?
His car might be up for repo, too, and he's not telling you he's doing all that coke.
You know?
Dude.
That's how I do coke.
Dude, that cocaine, you need to work on it, bro. Cocaine is more like...
Well,
that's it, dude.
Because you're doing good coke. That's why I'm doing the shitty coke.
Hey, talking about coke... So this comic book that I got here.
Yes, talk to me about
it. There's the lead.
No. We're going to talk about your comic book, but I want to finish. I want to finish the whole process. I'm not done yet with that. So you get the car.
Uh-huh.
Now you call up the finance company.
Yeah,
and you say, we got the car?
We got the car.
And that's when they extort the finance company. Listen, you want this car?
No, because the contract is a flat rate, right?
Yeah, it's a flat rate. But this is, for example, say they give us $350 to repo a car, your average repo.
$350?
We get the car. Mm-hmm. And we get, you know, 250, 300 repos a month, you know,
really?
So it's good. Yeah.
Really?
So,
just do the numbers.
Yeah, 90,000 plus a month.
Because I can repo a car, but like in a nice way, I'd be like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, you'll be like Freud, man, sleeps with all the girls and leaves the car.
I was just going to go there. Yeah. I was going to be like, excuse me, sir, is your wife home?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll do you a favor, man. Just let me take the car, you know. And I'll leave your wife alone.
Yeah.
I'll leave your wife alone.
It happens, man.
Wait. Have you ever had any women offer sexual services in exchange for not taking their vehicles?
All the time, man.
Of course.
All the time. And you know what's funny is that I always put them on the spot. And I always have a camera recording. I always put them on the spot, man. And they get all offended and stuff. And I'm there. I got a business that supported my family.
Right.
And I got a lot of employees.
You're a family man. You're a straight up honorable dude. You know, I'm a little crazy. I bug out on the air. You know what I mean?
He doesn't do what I would do.
No. Lou, let me tell you something. Lou, but we've been to Vegas. We've been to Vegas. You know, off of here, I'm straight up professional.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like crazy. This is just, you know, this is like my la cura. For being comedian, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Stand up comedian without having to go on stage. Well, Lou and I went to the NAB conference earlier this year. That was great.
Is that for veterans?
No, National Association of Broadcasters.
Oh, NAB. I thought you said NAM.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's the code, bro. It's, you know, it stays with you after a while, right?
You're bugging out. Okay, so you get your money. The you turn over the car
You skip a step real quick. Hang on. So you have the car.
Yeah.
The finance, you tell the company, we have your car. You deliver it to them, or they send someone to come pick it up?
Well, this is what happens. They give the owner, the registered owner, 15 days to redeem their car from me.
So the registered owner could actually pay you
what is
owed to the finance company.
That's a serious bucks. So, that's like $75 a night storage.
You got it.
But once they repo your car, you lost it. I mean, once the finance company takes the car, let's say you got $15,000 invested in the car, you lose it.
Absolutely. You lose it. And that's a bad thing. So if they don't pick up the car, I'll take it to the auction and they can redeem it from there. But after 15 days, they'll sell it. And then, you know, whatever the deficiency balance is, they're going to go to court and garnish your wages, man.
And they're still selling it and making market value.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell me about that auction house. I don't understand that part.
I don't understand that part.
So if they don't pick it up, you have 15 days. It's your car for 15 days.
By law. Yeah.
Why would you bring the car to the auction block?
Because I might have, 100 cars in my lot. And I'm constantly bringing cars and delivering them. Either way, I'm getting paid. If they don't come pay me, the finance company's going to send me a check.
Got it.
So I want to get the car out of there because I'm bringing fresh cars
in all
the time.
So you put in the auction house. So now he's got to pay the auction house, the storage fee, whatever you owe the finance company, blah, blah.
And plus I get paid for a delivery fee, too. So either way, I'm making money.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And you must have some access personally to get some good deals on good cars.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I advise against that, guys, because a lot of people, when they have a car that's out for repo, they don't change the oil. They don't change the tranny fluid because they can't afford it. They don't fix the brakes. So you get a piece of crap.
I'm Lou Pizarro of Operacion Repo. Let me tell you something. If you see a car out there that's worth 50% off of what you would normally pay for it, guess what? It's worth 50%. Yeah. That's all it's worth.
That's right.
Okay? There won't be any oils. There won't be any tires. There won't be any bearings. There won't be any upholstery. The windshields are going to crack as soon as you get on the freeway. You get my drift. Do yourself a favor, save some money, pay your bills, and you won't need me.
I think? I think these people that are getting their cars repossessed are the same people who have the expired rice milk
in their refrigerator.
You know what? I got a question for Giacomo. Yeah. Bro, so you're New Zealand or Switzerland?
Switzerland.
They don't repo out there, do they?
Nope.
You can't repo out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are ways to get your stuff back.
Yeah, you have to go to court.
No, they knock on your door and they say, excuse me, can we please have our vehicle back? And the people are so nice, they go, yes, sir, you can. And here's the key.
Almost like you said, yeah.
You know what's so funny is our show, Operation Repo, our English version that was on True TV for 8.5 years, is syndicated out in Italy. So we're all through Italy, which you guys can probably see. You're close by, right?
Yeah.
You're just north of Milan.
Yeah, an hour from Milan. Yeah,
An hour from Milan. So it's out there with the.
I am too sexy for my eye.
Yeah.
Wait, have you met the guy that dubs your voice in Italian?
No, but he sounds sexy, bro. I've been getting calls. It's like they dub my voice in Italian.
That's awesome. And the one in Japan.
Have you met the guy that dubs you in Japanese?
No, yeah. You know what?
There's.
Not my one in this car. Karuma kudasai. Where's the car? Karuma kudasai.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Man, I took Japanese for a while, man. I love the Japanese culture. It's crazy being Puerto Rican.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, brother, there's this in Colombia, there's this Japanese community. They're from Tokyo. Oh, man, that's another story.
Oh, yeah, because they speak Spanish. They're like, no me jola mucho, okay? No me jola mucho porque te meto una puñalada, okay, bro? Te meto una puñalada, bro, okay? Okay.
Wait, where in Colombia?
That's what he said.
Yeah, in Colombia.
I've never known about it. This dude with the fucked up. He sounds like he's snoring.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like, man.
He sounds like a commercial for Breathe Right. For Breathe Right nose strips.
There you go. Let's make some money here, man.
Dude, that's
Look, guys, let's. I believe me, I wish we could talk to you more about Repo, but I want to talk about Repo Man comic book.
I do. So first of all, before we go into this, Lou is working on a film based on this character.
That's
and
right.
I saw the film, and it's unbelievable. First of all, you're like all in this.
Wait, is it an animated film?
No, it's real. It's like
a live action Repo Man movie?
Yeah. Well,
here, this will help you guys understand, man. I started EGA Comics, and this is my first comic book, and the second one is Roofer Man.
EGA Comics.
Yeah, EGA Comics. So that's EGA Productions. Go to EGAproduction.com and see what's going on.
Roofer Man is the one you sold me, not Repo Man. Roofer Man. I love that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. So here on Repo Man comic book, which is the one that I'm releasing on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday it's going to be released.
Where is it being released in just newsstands?
We're at a show. We got billboards and everything like that. That's where the grand, releases. And then you can get it online. It'll be at different comic book stores and comic cons and stuff.
Nice.
So Repo Man is really, really based on my character, being a Marine. Mm-hmm. So what I did is that it's all fictitious. I created this great universe. So, Repo Man here, he's not really a Repo Man. It's kind of a spoof. So he's in the Marine Corps in a special unit where they create this awesome piece of equipment to find insurgents, looking through mountains and stuff. And so it starts working. They're looking for Osama before he got caught, right? So all of a sudden, they can see the screen. They can see the insurgents in these hills and these mountains. But the molecules that go in there explodes their bodies and kills them. So they bring it back. They tweak it. They do it again. It doesn't work. So they disband the unit. Everybody goes home. And everybody goes back to, to their prospective jobs or whatever. He finds a job as a repo man. And as he's doing his repo, he starts feeling weird. He starts getting into a fight and stuff. And he's like, he gets really strong and he almost kills these guys. And then he reports back to his unit and says, hey, something's going on here. So that's when they tell him, yeah, come on in. We got something to tell you. So half this unit, they went bad. They became these monsters and stuff. It changed their molecules. The other half just has super, hero powers and stuff. So what they didn't tell this unit was that they also sent this machine, this system, to the United Nations. Mm. So everyone else had one. So now we have this universe with all these bad guys and good guys. And
no one knows.
Yeah, so this is that. Now, Roofer Man, that's another one we can talk about
like
at another
one.
Show.
I like that one. That's another show.
Yeah, that's an awesome show. So check it out, man. Repo Man at EGAComics.com or EGAProductions.com. That was Roman Morales III.
Roman the Morales.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay.
So, You know what? I'm excited to look at this, man.
And who's...
Looks great.
Whoa, you got the right guy here. Sal is...
Oh, nice.
That's all he's into.
No. Actually...
This is pretty cool.
It's very cool. But no, I'm not a comic book person normally.
Oh, you're not? Oh,
no.
But you collect figures and stuff.
Let me tell you something that happened to me. When I was young,
that was a snore.
Let me tell you something that happened to me.
You don't say.
I can't even do that snore.
Was there a female clown involved?
I never even
was
heard
Giacomo
that.
There?
I never heard anybody sniff cocaine.
So tell me,
like
were you
that.
Saying this?
All right. Now? Okay, so I was in junior high school and I hung out with my buddies and we read comic books. But then I met some Nate.
Listen up, motherfucker! I'm laughing because Lou did that dope ass callback with the snore. I'm sorry. Okay, keep going.
It was good, but it was a snore that time.
It was good.
That was good. Okay, so I hung out with these friends that read comic books. Met these new friends that were fingering girls at parties.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, fuck these comic books. But then later on as a grown man, I'm like, comic books are awesome. And I'm like, that inner nerd is now coming back.
I'm going to tell you something. I used to collect comic books just because as a kid, Puerto Rican kid, you know, something to collect, right? I was never a reader per se. Even though I like to read, you know, I mean, I tried reading some of the comics. I never found them that interesting. Right. I'm a visual person.
Same here.
So I look at the illustration, the colors. Like I used to get. What was that? A heavy metal magazine. They used to have a storyline in there called Rand Xerox. You remember this?
Yes.
The dude was like huge, and he used to wear like these little swimming goggles like this, and his girlfriend was Lubna, and he used to break, like he'd get crazy and just fucking go berserk. But the illustration on this was unbelievable.
Well, you know how I got introduced to comic books when we were living in the projects? My mom, she would buy Richie Rich.
Oh, yeah.
And so she would read them, and then that's how I got introduced with Richie Rich.
Like the little books.
Yeah.
With all the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Richie Rich Volume 5, and it would have like 8 comic books all in there.
Yeah, that's how I got introduced to
it. The illustration in here, by the way, is very good. I love it.
Yeah, Roman Morales.
Yeah, the colors are nice.
He does Lynch Mob. He's worked for all the major comic book companies, DC Comics, et cetera,
nice,
et cetera.
Very nice.
I love the colors, the way they jump off the page.
Yep. Like this right here, this is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show that.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, no, we got it on t-shirts.
Wait, hang on. Wait, slow down. This is where you're going to get me. Do you have action figures?
You know what? I have only for Roofer Man, not for this one yet.
We're going to work on this.
Yeah, Roofer Man, we got action figures. In fact, what we did is that we went to Toys R Us and we bought the John Cena. And we molded it around
the
that.
One, the big John Cena.
Yeah, the big John, 18 inches.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
And we got watches. In the Roofer Man movie, we're introducing, again, Frisbees. So we got Frisbees.
Oh, nice.
We got all kinds of great stuff.
The thing about Lou. Lou's a very entrepreneurial guy, you know, and his story, I'll just kind of like, you know, give a little synopsis of it, but you're...
Giacomo! Hey, that's your new word, man, when you talk about cocaine. Giacomo!
this dude is like...
Yeah.
I love that shit.
I love it.
But now I need a little more background on... JB Wholesale Roofing and Building Supply.
Okay, that's his sponsor.
Yeah.
That's one of my sponsors, man. And I got to give it up for you guys. Go to jbroofing.com, man. If you guys need any roofing material, see what JB is that. I created this character.
I'm gonna call JB. Actually, I need some roofing work.
Oh yeah, man. Just tell him you're my boy, man. Tell him Captain JB sent you.
Yeah.
So I developed this character. I'm sitting with a friend, and I go, look, I have an idea. Randy Martinez. I have an idea. I go, I want to pitch this superhero character in this commercial.
Randy's also a good illustrator.
Oh, yeah. He's a great graphics guy, man. So I pitched this thing to Randy, and by 20 minutes later, he actually designed that costume for me.
I know.
And then I went and I pitched it to JB Wholesale. We did a commercial. The commercials, not only has it been last year, was on during the Super Bowl in Spanish on ESPN Español.
Really?
And in English, West Coast, during the pregame.
Wow.
Yeah, and now, currently.
Your roof tiles are fucked up! Let me tell you something!
Hey, whoever thought that a 400-pound Puerto Rican can fly when you see the commercial?
No, Lou, forget all that.
Yeah.
I love your whole story, dude. This guy's a repo man. He comes in and he does a segment. On NBC Universal, right?
Oh, yeah.
He did a segment. just like, you know, hey, you know, by the way, you know, this is how you do it. There's a reporter asking him questions. And then next thing you know, they're looking at him to do an actual segment. And then from there, he gets his own show.
Yeah. That's how it went down.
I mean, being at the right place at the right time.
And these these shoulders.
I love those shoulders.
Those shoulders.
That's Spanish, Spanish S-tile from
the roof. Spanish tiles,
those
dude.
Those shoulders will fuck you up.
Oh, yeah. And the cape is solar-powered cape. This is laminated, granulated paper.
My
this
favorite,
is regular tile.
My favorite. This is two things.
He's still wearing his Bluetooth.
This is
Samsung, baby.
Two things that you will never see Lou without. Two things. His Bluetooth and his finger, the thumbs up. That's his thing.
Hey, if they would see it right now, I had to take it off to put these on. But
that's the only time he takes it off.
That's his thing, dude. That's his thing.
He doesn't even take it off when he's making love.
That's his trademark.
No, they want me to keep it on. No, put it back on, Papi. Put it back on. I'm like,
yeah, put it back on. Let me call you. Let me put it between my legs. So here's the thing about Lou, in addition to all of the ventures that he's got going on, Lou's a very selfless guy. He's a good neighbor. This is the type of guy you'd want living next to you, for real. And he's a good citizen. I mean, as I said before, that thing that he did with the truck. Listen, guys, Google Lou Pizarro, P-I-Z-A-R-R-O, car chase Van Nuys. Just Google that. You'll see it. It'll come up, and it's pretty wild. But you're always thinking about the next thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got the comic book. You got Roofer Man. You got your syndicated of Operation Repo. But we're thinking about, or you've been talking about, wanting to create some sort of content for the Cuban market.
That's right.
Because that's a completely different open world, and it is.
Yeah. Wait. You want to reach out to the Cuban market, but you're Puerto Rican and you have an Italian last name.
Hey, but that's okay. Because it's about diversifying.
Okay.
It's about diversifying and giving back. And they've been held back for how long? Since the 50s?
Since 62 was when the embargo happened.
Okay.
64.
So, Ness just got back.
Yeah.
He was out there. We've been talking. I'm like,
this is the thing. I'm with you 100%. If what we do gives back.
Oh, absolutely.
It ain't about going there taking and making a gazillion dollars or whatever the hell it is. I'm down for doing that, and that's really my motivation.
Do they have a rainforest we can strip from and rob?
No.
Here,
Lou sent me a link to this show called Cuban Chrome, the first reality show shot and produced in Cuba for the U.S. market. It's on the Discovery Channel.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yep, it's Discovery, Velocity, and Pilgrims is the production
company. It's well made. Yeah. The characters, you know.
Awesome. It's real. It's true.
Well, there's like the creme de la creme Cuban car culture, car club, a lo cubano, which is like these guys restore. What did the dude say? He said he had an Aston Martin or something like that, like a 1950-something Aston Martin. First of all, you can't even get car parts for that here.
No.
Let alone Cuba.
And it's like opening up a time capsule.
You're like,
whoa, and these guys are putting, you know, Russian engines in Chevys to get them to run.
This guy, he's like the master. He's like making everything to the exact specifications.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not like necessarily retrofitting it, but actually replicating these parts.
That guy, he's putting together a 58 Chevy
in episode number one. He's got an apprentice, and he's got a couple other car
His
shops.
Sons.
Mm-hmm. It's a great concept.
And I want to meet these people, man,
because
I mean, myself personally, guys, I can relate to that third world, mentality. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I lived in Puerto Rico as a kid as well for many years, and we didn't go to school.
Right.
We lived literally in the rainforest at Junque, man. I was a coffee bean picker. Yeah. I picked coffee beans as a kid.
Wow.
That's what I did. We didn't have toilets. We didn't have showers. If you had to go to the bathroom, you went to Rio. You used mango leaves as toilet paper.
I'm Lou Pizarro. Let me tell you something. All you coffee drinking motherfuckers, do you know where the beans came from? El Yunque. Me and my family, we picked those beans one by one, okay?
Oh, yeah. No, and it was crazy because we'd go and we'd pick beans, we'd bring them, we'd peel them.
Yeah.
And then we put them on a sack.
let them roast for a couple days, turn them. Yep. Then the adults will take them into town, and that's how we got bread, you know, pan,
sure, you trade the beans for whatever.
And, yeah, and a little bit of cash.
Right. Wait, so what you're saying is that you guys also had the freshest coffee in your home.
Well, Puerto Rico had some really good coffee.
Every morning we had coffee and bread.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Coffee, oh, yeah. It's a coffee, everything.
Wait, how old were you when you started drinking coffee?
Oh, man, I was 9.
Really?
That's it?
Yeah.
I was fucking sucking on my mom's titties and coffee was popping out of there. You kidding me? Oh, she was going, throw my mommy.
I had espresso being shot in my fucking mouth.
No, but you're Puerto Rican. I mean, for the most part, that's why it's shocking that Giacomo doesn't drink coffee. He's Italian. You know what I mean?
No, espresso? Double espresso?
No, I need an espresso. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need a nice little espresso. I mean, that's my thing. I love coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't drink alcohol. You know, I don't do anything other than I love to eat. I love to drink coffee, you know, and I love to smoke a cigar.
Oh, I love cigars. We're going to smoke one tonight, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk.
That's right.
Because I was talking to Jeremy, the owner and runner of the Skid Row Studios.
The CEO of
Skid Row Studios right here. And Jeremy joined me on one episode. We talking about Cuba and stuff like that. But we were talking about content for Cuba, believe it or not. So when we get into it tonight, we've already been talking about
it.
This dude is like fucking hyper, like focused on and taken by the cigar culture.
He's like
Jeremy. Hyper? Oh, Jeremy is like No. He's hyper. He's hyper like fucking committed is the word I was looking for to this, like wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
He's got this humidor bigger than you and Sal put together.
Wow.
With boxes of shit. Yeah. This dude is just
nonstop. Is he married?
No, he's got a girlfriend.
Oh.
He's got a girlfriend. Okay. Why, you were going to move in with him?
You got that kind of cigars, bro.
You were thinking maybe you move in with him?
Yeah. Is he handsome? Is he good looking?
No, he's got a beautiful girlfriend, actually, June.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, Lou. Because I got to ask you then, why do people smoke cigars? When I ask people why they smoke cigars, they don't get high. So why do they smoke them?
I'll tell you why I smoke them. It's all individuals.
There you go.
I smoke it because it not only does it relax me, it just really gets my thinking juices going, mm-hmm. my brain. It puts me in just in a different world.
Yep.
And it has this taste, this phenomenal taste.
Yep.
And you don't get it right away. You don't get it right away. It's like the first time I drank beer, I hated it.
It's like the first time you eat pussy. You don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
It was too hairy.
Hairs and shit.
Now, if you smoke like a... what, a 1920s?
He was going to say, if you eat pussy, but then he went, if you eat smoke...
like a patron.
Yes.
That will get you high. And if you want to inhale a little bit...
You mean a padrón?
Yeah.
A padrón aniversario? The cigar, the label you mean?
Yeah.
Or patrón tequila?
No, the cigar.
Oh, padrón, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a really strong cigar, man. Yeah, it'll give you a little buzz. Inhale a little bit.
It all depends, right? It all depends. I think you asked Jeremy the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy, in a roundabout way, gave you the same answer, right? Which is, it's a relaxing thing, right? And the aroma of a cigar is not... It's an acquired taste. You know what I mean? Because the first thing... In fact, Giacomo smoked his first, like, real good Cuban cigar.
And I really liked it.
Why? What did you like about it?
The taste, actually.
Just the tobacco, the taste, the flavor.
The taste and, it's relaxing, like you said. And it doesn't make you high, but it's really good as well.
But hang on one second, though. Giacomo's an all-around smoker. If I'm not mistaken, Giacomo smokes cigars now.
Yeah.
Weed and cigarettes.
No, he smoked a cigar once or
he's
twice
like a
before.
Triple smoker.
Well, here's the thing. To get back to Lou's description, it's very relaxing. The cigar aroma creates a bouquet, which is, I fucking love it. I love the smell of it. Like seriously, sometimes I enjoy like smelling the cigar, the bouquet from your cigar.
Yeah.
Or like if we're smoking cigars, Jeremy's cigar. Like, you won't see me smoking a cigar like my man Rich, my old co-host. He'll smoke a cigar and the shit will be wasted in like 3 seconds. It's like, and it's done.
That's a $200 cigar!
That's not relaxing to me. Yeah. And so here's the thing. So the first thing you gotta ask yourself is if you wanna get into cigars is, if you smoke cigarettes like Giacomo, then you're probably more conditioned to the taste of tobacco, right? And you roll your own cigarettes, and they're not like chemically processed tobacco.
No, I don't like them.
Very little chemical. So tobacco and cigars are pretty much pure. That's what they call them in some countries, puros, right? So they're really pure. And so there's different girths of cigars. There's different lengths of cigars. There's different blends.
Yeah.
So you got different tobacco inside, different tobacco wrapping around it, binding it, and different tobacco wrapping that makes it nice and smooth. So all that combination can give you a real smooth, like light breakfast cigar, or it can give you like a real, Jesus, what is this?
Oh, yeah. And there's one more thing that I want to add about cigars. I like cigars so much, and I can't smoke a cigarette, by the way.
Me neither.
I cannot smoke a cigarette, but I like cigars so much. It also brings a group of good gentlemen, friends together.
Yes.
And so in that being said, I've been working on my own line of cigars, and Ness knows this, and it's called Don Pizarro Cigars.
Yes.
And the first one is called El Reposador, which is a kind of a cigar dipped in cognac. And the second one is El Conquistador. And I'm making them not to make money, but I want to give them out to my friends. I say, hey, this is my cigar, you know, and we get together and we smoke out, if you will. I think that's the word you would say, Giacomo, right? Smoke out?
Yep.
But I think that's the other element that you mentioned. So I smoke cigars. I've been smoking cigars for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I've been smoking cigars since, like, I would say 92. There was a point in America where, for a while, there were cigar stores, tobacco stores.
Yeah.
And then that went out of favor, like, from the 70s to, like, the mid-90s. Uh-huh. I think we talked about this. Mid-90s, you started seeing a resurgence of, you know, cigar, different Macanudos, Royal Jamaicans, Arturo Fuentes. Just cigars, you know, domestic cigars from made in Dominican Republic or Nicaragua. And so it became this thing. But now it's this big thing. It's like fucking the relationship between the U.S. and Cuba are opening up. So now, you know, a lot of, and then there's this big Cuban cigar culture that I didn't know.
Yeah,
it's huge. Didn't know until I met Jeremy, because this dude is crazy. I'm telling you, man. And I haven't smoked more cigars than in the past year, I would say. And I've smoked cigars. I'll show you my labels. I got boxes of all the cigars.
I can imagine. So
of all the cigars I smoked, and a lot of them are Cuban, but I've smoked more Cuban cigars consistently in this past year.
Wow.
From knowing Jeremy
and
from being in Cuba. No, dude, in Cuba, I was smoking like 3 Cuban cigars a day. We bought 2 boxes.
So Sal, and also to kind of finish up on your question, you know, this whole bond thing, it's a bonding, it's a brotherly thing. I had some Gurkhas. And I was at a radio show I was doing at the Four Seasons, and one of the guests there was Richard Roundtree Shaft.
Yep.
And I was the only one with a cigar. And he came up to me, he introduced himself, and he says, "You're a man after my own heart." And I says, "Can I get you a Gurkha?" He says, "You have some?" I went, I grabbed my portable humidor, which is like a Pelican case, full of Gurkhas. He's like, wow. He picked one. I already had mine because I was chewing on it. He pulled out his cutter, cut his. Mine was already cut. Pulled out his lighter, lit mine first. And people were snapping pictures, man, and smoked this. That, to me, means so much.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Hold on a second. Sorry about that.
And so that's part of the cigar thing, the bond, the experience.
Let me add to that. Exactly. I'll smoke a cigar. I got sidetracked. I smoke a cigar by myself, and it's great. In fact, I smoked 2 today. I smoked one for breakfast, and I smoked one in the afternoon. I was working outside in the backyard. So today's going to be my 3rd. I was looking forward to it. But it's not the same as if I'm smoking it with Lou and Jeremy, Giacomo, it just becomes this like this bond. It's not like a male bond, like, "Yo, what's up, Poppy? How you doing?" It's just, you know what I mean?
Let's go get some bitches.
Yo. I think here's the other thing. I think we have a lot of testosterone, guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that cigars kind of mellow you out a little bit. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know what? This episode makes me want to smoke cigars and pick up Repo Man comic book. Now, wait. Do you call this comic book or graphic novel?
Oh, that's a comic book. A graphic novel would be a bunch of comic books together.
Okay. So this is a comic
book.
And this is
EGA Productions Repo Man Numero Uno. This is the first edition.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's the first edition of Repo Man. You can get it at egacomics.com or egaproductions.com.
You know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
Is I'm going to get a couple of these signed.
Okay.
From, you know, the man himself.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna.
I also want a Captain JB action figure.
Oh, that's awesome! That one is dope.
That will come.
That one is dope.
There's so many different things.
But I'm gonna give somebody one of these. These are very nice. Okay. So what you do is you hit me up on Facebook/ Nestorius Public Radio. Send me a message or go to Facebook.com Nestorius, my regular Facebook page. Inbox me. Put it this way. How should we do it? I think I have like 200 likes. I need to get like 50 more likes. Okay, I'm gonna be conservative.
Wait, are you saying you're gonna send someone the comic book?
I'm gonna send someone the comic
book. Wow.
Signed.
That's right. Whoever wins, I'll come back and sign it.
I'm gonna sign it. Lou's gonna sign it.
That's very nice. Nestor is willing to give up his personal copy. I, however, am not, and I'm keeping my shit.
No, I have two. Don't worry about it.
Dude, you should have let him think you were sending them your personal
copy. I'm going to give them a nice one. Hold on a second. I'm going to destroy this public radio. Okay, right now, here's the deal. I'm going to just tell you straight up, and then we're going to wrap the show up. I believe I have about 252 likes, okay? 252 likes, okay? The 300th like, I'm giving the comic book
now,
to.
Now, wait a second. You got to be careful. You're going to have people like, unlike.
No.
I don't think that works.
Why do you even got to say that? You're like one of these guys that like... That's, you know, like a cokehead.
Check 'em all.
I got to be number 300, man.
What, should it be the 400th?
I got to be number 400,
What number should it be?
No, you got it.
300.
Yeah, 300 is perfect.
300.
That's a good movie.
300, right. Okay. The 300th like, take a screen grab of it, the 300th like, inbox me with it. You're going to get the Rebo Man EGA comic book number one. All right? So give me the website again.
Again, egacomics.com or egaproductions.com, and all my social media is at Lou Pizarro.
At Lou Pizarro. So Twitter at Lou Pizarro.
You got it.
Yeah.
Can I just add one thing?
Yep. Yes.
And that is, when I get my hands on a Captain JB action figure,
yes,
I will review it on my toy and tech review channel on YouTube at YouTube.com/SalvadorLosAngeles. Once again, that's YouTube.com/SalvadorLosAngeles for toy and tech review.
Awesome, man. I'm excited about that.
Giacomo, you want to say something to your people in Switzerland?
Yeah. Make sure you like the page.
Giacomo! Big up your bomba clan! Big the fuck up your Switzerland motherfucker! Big up your ice cold, snow blowing, ass crack licking! Big up!
Ooh-wee, it's me. Me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way long. Ow.